It's been a long week. It's been a real long week trying to sleep. Thinking about what I was going to share about. And I talked to my sponsor, and my sponsor said, share your experience, your strength, and your hope.
That's right.
And you'll be all right. Thank God for this program. Hey, y'all, I'm clean 8 years today. I thought I was going to die. Hopelessly addicted to narcotics. Wasn't a weekend warrior. I like to tell y'all that I got paid on Friday. And I used Saturday and Friday night. Came home early Sunday and went on back to work. But it wasn't like that. See, because I understand when I take the first one, I don't give a fuck about nobody. Not even my mother. Not even my father. The kids. The community. I just don't care. You know, I come to understand the reason why I use so hard is because I never, ever, never, ever liked gray. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I didn't like nothing about me. My head was too big. My hairline was too far back. My nose was too wide. I had not knees. You know, my feet was too big. My toenails was too dark. And as a man, my penis was too small. So I set out on a mission to seek and destroy gray. See, I ain't the type of addict when it gets through using. You know, we can sit around and talk about it socially. See, because when I start using, I go in my feet. I go in my hind parts. I go in my groin. I go in my neck. You understand? And my groin looks like a female groin because it's so swollen. My legs are so big that I can't even put on certain pants. You know what I mean? And I don't take baths. And I pull up in your yard like Spot the dog and slide behind a tree and shit and wipe my ass with some last week old newspaper and go back on the strip and start slinging again. Like it's all right. You know, when people would walk up to me, hair nappy, hands swollen, and ask me, hey, Greg, you know, what's going on? How you doing today? Man, I'm all right. I'm just waiting for so-and-so and them to come out. You understand? And put me down. You know, and everything will be okay. I'm talking about, you got to understand, I'm so glad I'm doing this topic. Fear versus faith. Because I had faith before I got here. But all my faith was based in drug dealers. Man, I had enough faith to hope and know that you was up on the corner. I had enough faith to know that he was going to put me down. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, the dude could go out of town and come back on, he'll leave on a Friday, tell me to wait. I'll be right back. You know what I'm saying? Come back morning. Monday morning, I'm still waiting. You understand? Because that's my main man. You know what I mean? And I get up in this program, and I thought that once I surrendered, you know, after I took that WWF off the top rope, high pots whipping, that slam dunk, the one when boogers fall out your nose, the one when you come in here and you don't ask a whole lot of questions, you just ask, you know, you sit yourself on the first two rows, and instead of looking at the speaker and say, that nigga lying, or he a bammer, I don't like the shoes he wearing, you get up and you introduce yourself. Because I was sick and tired of living the way that I was living. And I started humbling myself and saying, man, I want what y'all got. And I said, man, how was you staying clean? See, because I got tired of going to jail and running everybody else's life on a collect call. Dude telling me how to stay out of jail. And after he get finished telling me how to stay out of jail, he'll get on the top bunk. I get on the bottom bunk. And we'll start it all over again tomorrow about what we did wrong. And I understand, since I got here, that drugs is just a symptom of the disease of addiction. And when we use, and we say we only, you know, hurting ourselves, but we affect everybody that's in our life. And I remember, man, I got to the point that the disease had taken over. You know, once you become a using addict, you become irrelevant to people. And my mother and my brother was having a conversation about me. And they said, he said, Mama, you better start locking your doors at night. Because the way Gregory living, don't be surprised if somebody don't come in here and kill everybody. See, he ain't gonna make it, Mama. And she said, no, I ain't worried about Gregory. She said, I got the highest insurance policy in the family on Gregory. And they say in here, you get playing something, but don't plan the outcome. See, because that same brother who told my mother not to trust me and to get some more locks was the same brother when he got cancer of the liver. And all the other brothers in my family that he had counted on to be there wasn't there. And God had put me in a position to be there for my brother. And he looked at me in his last days and said, Gregory, I want you to take my PIN number and go down and take my wife shopping. Because you're the only one I trust. So don't play the outcome. You know, Mama had got a great big lawsuit. A big lawsuit. She was in the papers and everything. And she got all this money. And of course, I had been messing up for years. And when I came home, I had told my mother that I was clean. I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. And she said, yeah, I done got everybody cars and paid mortgages and I gave the grandkids some money. So when they get of age, they have some money saved up. I'm the baby, y'all. And she looked at me and said, Greg, I'll get at you later. Oh, okay. And it hurt. And I talked about it. And I told other recovering addicts about it. And they say, just keep doing what you're doing. Well, they stole all the money. Signed away her house.
put mama in an old folks home. And I went up there because I'm a recovering addict. And I washed my mother's feet. And I washed my mother's face. She kept asking about my other brother. She didn't want to be bothered with me. And it hurt. And I had to talk about it. And the member said, just keep doing what you're doing, Greg. Well, my mother moved. They moved her down to Georgia, and she passed away. And my sister called me on the phone and said, Greg, mama's gone. She don't have no insurance. You got to get mama home, Greg. My mother wasn't from Georgia. And you know, I had just bought a brand new N.A. car. And y'all had any members that told me, you know, whenever you embark on any financial material grade that's like a car, a house, have a cushion for a rainy day. And my mother passed. And I thought about all the things that I went through with my mother. And I thought about how she had got all this money and gave this money to all these new, no good family members and all that. I said, God, give me the strength. People from the rooms helped me. My cousins and them helped me. I took all my money and poured it into that situation to bury my mother. It took me 2 years to finish paying for it, but it's paid for.
That's right.
Because I understand today being in recovery. God has set that moment up for me. And he wanted me to lean on his faith to understand that, boy, I got you. See, because you got to think back, son. You remember when mama was upstairs sleeping and you had all them dudes downstairs shooting dope? You remember when you laid on a couch, ain't worked in Rambo 5 years, and she said, get a job, you cussed her out like she was a nigga in the street. See, mama ain't never really told me nothing wrong. I decided to do something wrong. I decided to go out there. See, because for real, I never thought mama loved me. And that's why you find me looking for love in all the wrong places. Because I'm trying to find my mother. This program has gave me a new way to live. And you know how you get here after a while and you start thinking that you like that. And I went down and I tried to get a job.
Come on now.
It wasn't just a job. It was the job, the one that would put me over the hump. You know that one when you ain't got to sell CDs and DVDs no more? That one when you ain't got to keep looking at your paycheck and wondering if you're going to be able to pay the rent? It was that one. And I passed all the tests. And I had to have a physical. And the doctor looked at me because I'm scarred from my feet to my neck. And he denied me. I passed the medical part. But he denied me. And wouldn't tell me why he denied me. And I was up in the place in orientation, signing the tax papers for my income tax return. And they called me and said, Mr. Adams, don't report for work Monday because the doctor denied you. And I ran back down there because, you know, I called my woman and she said, go back down there and find out why he denied you. He ain't supposed to deny you. And I went down there. And when I went in there, the doctor was at the desk and I tried to get his attention. Don't you remember me from the other day? And he walked out my face and wouldn't even acknowledge me. I talked to his assistant. They told me what they could do and what had happened. And I said, thank you for all your help. And I walked out, emotionally shattered. And I went home. And I fell on my knees. And I began to pray for the doctor. And I asked my high God to forgive him. I asked my higher power to make sure that this doctor and his family get the same things out of life that I want. See, because I understood, doctor, it's bigger than you, baby. And for real, I don't put my faith in man anyway. I got a power greater than me that keeps me. And that's the power that I lean to. Because I sat by the gates of hell. I sat in all joints and thought I wasn't going to never get out of them. Who you think brought me out of them? It wasn't no doctor. It was my high power. When I thought that I was, matter of fact, listen, y'all. You didn't have to shoot me. I shot myself. I slashed both wrists. I got shot in the dude put some shit in me. Ooh. I went blind for 3 days. And when I got my sight back, I went to find him. I said, man, you did it wrong. You got to go down a little lower. See, you got to understand where my hope and my faith was at. It was in a shot of dope. It was in a hit of crack. You understand? This program has taught me, man. Who do you think, Greg, lifted the compulsion and the obsession to use drugs? You didn't do it. See, I remember when I was in that man's house leaking like an animal. You understand? Because I had took something and put it in me and shot it in me and it burned up my whole right leg. And I was walking around them people's house and they had coffee. And I was leaking like an animal and got mad because they called the ambulance and they got sick of me walking around and leaking shit. And when I got to the hospital and the doctor took care of me, and when I got so-called well and he had his students standing up and they was like analyzing me, the doctor said, Mr. Adams, I know. That we have done all we can do. And he turned around to his students and said, Mr. Adams is going to need an act of God to help him with his dilemma. You talking about an addict who don't care, who didn't care about his family. He didn't care about jobs. He didn't care about living. Now, since being in this program, I'm a compassionate individual who will cry if I hear your story. I care about the newcomer. I'm newcomer friendly.
I care about the old timer. I care about NA members. I care about people that's not in NA. Because I understand today that it ain't about me. And when that doctor did what he did, it didn't make no sense for me to go out and shoot no dope. Because I got a daughter, I got a son, I got a stepson, and trust me, when you say you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous, you have people watching your every move. And how can I demonstrate a responsibility of a perk when I get turned down from something and I start using? That's how life is. Everything don't go your way. That's why I have a higher power. That's why I've done the third step. That's why I did the seventh step. That's why I lean on my 11th step. Because when I go through the storms, I got somebody to lean on. Somebody to depend on. And I'm talking about somebody where I don't have to make a phone call. So somebody, all I got to do is just start talking. And he starts hitting me. Because my disease is bigger than me. Boy, you got me riled up. Because I understand that God set this up. And this is my moment to make my high power shine. Not me, my high power. This is his work. If you up in here and you think you got yourself here, you in the wrong place.
With that meatball.
Man, I'm...
Go ahead.
Don't worry
about that. Let him use.
You know, man, I had a job. And one of my good NA members was my supervisor. And he had put these unrealistic expectations on me. And he said, you need to be doing this. You ain't doing this right. And I said, man, fuck you. Fuck this job. Don't call my phone no more. Because, buddy, you are not God. Thanks for allowing me to share, y'all.
For our second speaker, we're going to have Sister Gloria to come up.
I'm Gloria and I'm an addict. And to God be all the glory. That he may not only use me, but use us in a mighty way. To overcome that fear that alienates us, that stunts our growth, that keeps us hindered, locked and loaded, that keeps us using, that keeps us doing those things that's unpleasing to him. That I may be able to share and carry the message of recovery through my experience and not my opinion. fear, the anxiety or agitation that's caused by the presence of danger, evil, pain, a feeling of uneasiness or apprehension. I'm so fearful right now, and that's my greatest thing to overcome is fear. Don't matter if it's good fear or bad fear. We look at it as healthy or unhealthy. But mine said good or bad. It's one way or the other. Ain't no in between. When I'm dishonest, don't nothing matter. When I'm not loyal, it ain't important. When I'm broken in my spirit, it's all over. But only when I get a glimpse of sincerity that I can look you in the face and see me in you and not judge you for what you see, do, or even I can judge your thoughts. But who am I to judge another addict? It's when I'm incapable and constitutionally dishonest with me. When I don't like those things that's in me, I cover up my assets through defects.
Come on now.
And because it might sound so good when I seek attention on the outside of others, I think it's all right when it ain't, because y'all don't know how I really be feeling. How many times do I want to get treated but don't want to take the treatment? That fear said, I ain't never found a pill, a substance, a situation to fix disappointment. Why am I always disappointed when I can't have my way? I can read a step, but if I ain't applying and incorporating what I read, the reading is in vain. My recovery is my responsibility. But how about when you want to be responsible, but because of the way you act, or I act, we act, the act become the actor and you start to believe in what ain't real. My story says in my faith, God will use anybody. So I can't pick and choose where my help gonna come from. And a lot of days I be so scared to ask for help because I'm so self-centered. Yeah, the outside of me is loving and caring, but the inside of me is insecure and damaged. I'm afraid to trust you because I got expectations and I judge. And if you think I don't, watch your story. Because when you around me, let me tell you something. There's a part of me that I don't even like. And I try to keep her arrested. But when she comes out, when I see the attacker attacking me, I get discombobulated. But I try to keep my composure because I don't want to go back to where I came from. Not learning how to love you because of the damage that was done to me way back when. When it ain't happening now, why am I still worried and stuck? They say the greatest gift in recovery is the joy. You got to find some joy. When I don't have no joy because I'm all wavy and wobby, it's when I come to a meeting. I'm so nervous that I ain't going to do the right thing at this podium for the right reason. But I done already prayed, and I know God heard me the first time. My greatest loss is the loss of my self-respect. But I always look for respect from others. understand now that I get so stuck and fearful because I don't never know how to protect my privacy. Sex has always been an issue for me. Sex is surrounded by my friendships. Sex is surrounded by the measurement of the love. Sex is a consequence of the level of my finances. How can an in-house whore that's been well kept by him and them in the house come outside and act like I don't still prostitute? Let me tell you something. I done tried a lot of things and I done been a lot of places and I'm telling you I've done some stuff that don't measure up to that last bottom that I can recall. That was not only physical because I've been broke down, broke up, and broke in. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that last bottom when I've been emotionally disturbed and connected back to him and still detached myself in his house. I'm talking about that last bottom on a Sunday when I tried to stop with the drugs in me. Wanted to believe that coin because I was tired. I didn't even have the energy to take one more. But I was not stashing my stash. And I'm at it. That just in case I didn't believe, because I started believing because y'all believed. And I wanted y'all to know that I have some faith. I'm not ignorant. Don't get it twisted. So it's Sunday and I'm going to church. Now I'm the addict that prayed over my drugs. I'm the addict that read his word. I'm the addict that knows his word for me. And I goes in church, and my drugs got to go where I go. And it's something about in church in his house, because he's everywhere. And he's going to use anybody at any time. And I can't pick and choose when he going to use me, but I know I've been chosen to be used. And I don't even know if I'm ready for him to use me. But he used me anyhow. And then I'm going in church. And I get in church and I get called up and I get prayed on. And the literature says, we don't care how much you've been counseled, prayed, or whatever. If you don't make a decision to stop, you're not going to stop. Now my decision is based on my desire. How deep is my desire? How deep is the pain? The pain is great, but great ain't great enough because I still had some more drugs. And that music blew my high. So I'm ready now because I'm in the house and I said I'm going to stop. But if I don't change everything, the change ain't no matter. Because, see, I still got the drugs in me. And they slowly coming out with that church music. But I do know my subconscious says, you know you still got your stash. And you didn't stash it outside. It's in here with you. So I goes up in the bathroom and I get high some more. And I come back out, and I still don't feel the relief. My bottom. bottom, because sex has always been an issue for me. I ended up in church with drugs in me and on me, having sex with the preacher behind the pulpit. And every time I get around the pulpit, that conviction comes in my spirit. Now I know God forgave me, but because of the way I've been living and how I've been acting, I still can't forgive myself for that incident. But it gets better. It gets better. So I ain't having sex with no more preachers. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It ain't about the preachers. It's about my insecurities with me. My ugliest personality trait is my selfishness. Why is it that I can't deny me? I understand some days I'm greedy, never satisfied, hard to please, look for something for nothing. And then on other days, I can be the most grateful, loving, caring and sharing, willing addict to do any and almost everything for you and still forget about me. I've gotten to a point now that I'm so fearful of getting outside myself that I get so far outside myself that I can't get back to myself. And because I pick and choose who might not reject me, I miss who God has for me. I read something that says, be careful how you entertain strangers. So I try to be as nice as I can, because I don't know what blessing you may have for me at that moment. So I keep coming, and I keep doing and trying to do the best that I can with what I have. It says a mustard seed of faith. I ain't never seen a mustard seed. I don't even know what a mustard seed is. But I know I got it. And some got to be spiritual in nature that don't have to be analyzed and dissect. And you'll know when you get it. Because all hell can break loose in you and around you, and you'll still be walking like it ain't even going on. I search for peace. When for real, if I mind my business, I'm peaceful already. I got a crippling disease of failure that's disclosed in expectations. And I read something that says, he who expects something should never be disappointed. I used to always wonder why I got to go first, because it might not be no more. But I understand something. He who's first is last, and he who's last is always first. Y'all know that, huh? But how many times do we practice that? Say, those things that cause my spirit to not reach its full potential is impatience and intolerance. If y'all looking at me like you is, I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to be tolerant. But how long, I can't tell you. But the two most powerful words that can ever be thought of at any given time, regardless of the situation, are I can. And you can put whatever you want behind it. The worst thing to be without is hope. My deadliest weapon is my tongue.
My tongue.
I read something that says life and death is in the power of the... Oh, y'all reading too? If you knew and don't understand nothing about this spiritual aspect of fear versus faith, just know there's a God.
Somewhere.
And you're entitled to believe in whatever you want to believe in. And if you don't believe in God, that's all right too. Because this message is so simple that we don't care about whether you have religion or not. Narcotics Anonymous message is any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Any act. So that's you. That's me, and that's us. The most worst or worthless emotion that I may have is self-pity. And the reason I have it is because I ask not for what I need to him. I seek through others to give me what he already got for me. I understand that no matter what happens in my life, I must keep a courageous spirit of enthusiasm. The only requirement is a desire. Nobody can measure that desire. I encourage you to keep your flame of desire lit. And if your flame is bigger, taller, brighter, wider, or excessively larger than mine's or someone else's, share your torch.
Come on now.
Because the only way we can keep what we had that was so freely given to us is to give it away. Now, who do I give it to? Because I got to be careful. Because it's a terrible thing to waste energy. But it's not important of who I give it to. If God gave it to me, I give it to whoever needs it. How about they don't need it? I think they need it. Am I going to give it? Yes, I am. Because when I give from my heart, it doesn't matter what you do. Because once I release it and give it to you, because I watch the seeds that I plant. I plant harvest seeds. Because I know I fall short, and at any given time, I don't forget I'm human. I just know I'm human. I'm just a fuck up sometimes. And I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that. And it might not be spiritual to y'all, but if you understand where I come from, you understand why.
That's right.
I simply mess up because I don't want to be responsible. I can be mismanageable. And I can be all right being mismanageable as long as it's unseen. Now, that first step in that flat book says, how will I know when my recovery is active? When God is not in my picture. He is not first. When I'm not asking for help from my heart. When I'm trying to control everything and everybody, but not seeking self-discipline and control with myself. The most powerful channel of communication that I have is prayer. Prayer works.
Tell them again.
Prayer works. I'm a baby. The most important thing in my life is God. And the people that he have in my life, I want to say thank you. Fear versus faith. The person next to you, in silence, look at them and share your fear versus faith without saying anything. On a count of two. One, two. I'm an addict and my name is Gloria, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.